You're listening to Pacifica's Peace Watch. I'm Verna Avery Brown.
Just look out around us, people fighting their wars. They think they'll be happy when they settle their scores. Let's lay down our weapons and hold us apart. But still for just a minute, try to open our hearts.
As the nation went to war in Iraq last month, the country found itself engulfed in a climate of heightened patriotism. Many actors, musicians, and celebrities who questioned the administration's motives in launching its preemptive war found themselves suddenly silenced and shunned by the media and other members of the artistic community. Among the casualties was the group Dixie Chicks, after lead singer Natalie Maymes told a London crowd that, quote, "We're ashamed the president is from Texas," unquote. Their home state. Other prominent artists have also come under censure for expressing opinions that are critical of the administration. Academy Award winner Michael Moore was booed at the Academy Awards ceremony for opposing the war on Iraq. Moore won an Oscar for his documentary Bowling for Columbine. At a press conference after the ceremony, Moore responded to questions from the press. When asked whether he received the response he expected from the audience and why he made his statement against the war, he responded, "I'm an American."
"I'm an American, and you don't leave your citizenship when you enter the doors of the Kodak Theater. What's great about this country is that you're able to speak your mind, and that's what I do. I do that in my filmmaking. I do that in my daily life, and I don't stop being who I am when I come into this ceremony. And I'm extremely grateful for the response." Suddenly the lights went down, and when they came back out, Mike was flat on the stage.
Half the people wanted to carry out on their shoulders and half wanted to throw fruit at you.
Oh, that's not what I saw. I saw the entire place stand up and applaud. Applaud a film that talks about how we are manipulated by the fear that's put forth from the White House, that's put forth by corporate America, to create a culture of violence. Violence at home and violence abroad. We kill each other at an enormous rate, more so than virtually any other country on this planet. What was the lesson that we taught the children of Columbine this week? This was the lesson, that violence is an acceptable means to resolve a conflict.
Shadow Broadcasting, Sandy Kenyon, 1010 Winds. Mr. Moore, I want to ask you, there were some boos after the cheers, clearly heard. Your reaction when you heard those boos coming at you?
Those are all my friends and relatives. I said, you know what? Hollywood's got such a bad rap of being monolithic in their politics, you know, like they're all a bunch of left-wing Democrats out here. It'd be really cool if a bunch of you, you know, booed just to show the world that, you know, it's a diversity of opinion in this town.
Don't you think the town and the country itself is divided, though?
No, actually, the country is united. The majority of Americans do not want to see any of your young boys or girls killed in this war. They want the troops to come home safe. And the majority of Americans never voted for that guy who sits in the White House. He was never elected by a majority of the citizens of this country, and I'll keep saying that until he's out of there. Our democracy was hijacked, and there's a squatter on federal land at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Next question, 133.
Call me crazy, call me an American. I don't know what, but I just happen to believe it's one person, one vote, and you count all the votes. What a wild idea. Yes, sir.
Mr. Moore, Miguel Morales, Voice of America, Latin American Division. Now that you have won an Oscar, would you be concerned about being blacklisted in Hollywood?
Well, I don't work in Hollywood. I'm funded by Canadians and others who don't live here. So it was Hollywood who voted for this award. It was Hollywood that stood when it was announced. Were there any other, has that happened yet tonight? Because five loud people booed. Do your job and tell the truth. This is how this, not only this town feels, but the majority of Americans did not support us getting into this war. The majority of Americans are not for Bush's policies. They're not for drilling in Alaska. Go down the whole damn list. The majority of Americans oppose what Bush stands for. The majority of your fellow Americans are pro-choice. They're pro-environment. They're pro-labor. And that's the truth. And I'm sorry to have to, you know, speak it, but I don't know what else to do.
Robert Nisbet, BBC News. Do you think that the entire ceremony should have been cancelled or postponed, or do you think that actually it's proved to be a very good platform for your point of view?
No, I think it's important to have the Oscars, and after all, isn't that what we're fighting for, our American way of life? I mean, what could be more American than the Oscars? I'm disappointed that people didn't have a chance to speak to press as they came in. I noticed there were reporters with notepads writing on the notepads, and I said, why aren't you saying anything? And somebody said with a whisper, we were told that we couldn't say anything. Not in my America. You know, you're free to ask a question anytime you want and say anything anytime you want. That's the beauty of this country. That's the freedom we want to preserve.
You think we are fighting for the American way of life over there?
No, I was being sarcastic. We're fighting for Bush and his oil buddies. And it distresses me that young men and women are put in harm's way for that reason. It's absolutely appalling and immoral.
Author of Stupid White Men and Academy Award winner for Best Documentary Film, Michael Moore. To speak out against the administration's policies is to be treated as traitorous or unpatriotic. Michael Parenti, author and media critic, weighs in on the media's coverage of the war and dissent against Bush policies.
One of the traits of the super patriots, the right-wing patriots, is to try to monopolize a claim to patriotism and to equate any criticism of U.S. policies and any criticisms of a particular administration with an attack or hatred for our country, which is a false and very opportunistic way of insisting on using the term patriotism. But in fact, the very essence of democracy is that you're free to criticize your leaders. The alternative is to follow the leader, accept everything he says when he waves the flag, follow that. And that's exactly what the Germans did with Hitler, and look where it got them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very opportunistic thing. I mean, if I were to criticize the present government of Nigeria, that doesn't make me anti-African. If I'm to criticize the present Likud bullying government in Israel, that doesn't make me anti-Semitic. And if I criticize the policies of the U.S. government, that doesn't make me anti-American or wanting in patriotism. But all of these people very opportunistically try to monopolize that term and try to equate any kind of democratic criticism with lack of patriotism. Well, it's our country, though. You know, we're not against our country. In fact, it's concern for our country. One of our concerns is the well-being of our own country, which is why we oppose a lot of these policies.
Mm. Well, you have the president of the U.S. accusing Democrats of being unpatriotic early on before the actual invasion. You have an elected official in South Carolina telling people not to attend the Dixie Chicks' upcoming concert tour in his state. Michael Moore gets booed off the stage at the Academy Awards. One average American was threatened, fired for flying a flag upside down in her window, and another one arrested for wearing an anti-war T-shirt. How far are we from the McCarthyism of the 50s? Is that just taking it a little bit too far, perhaps? Or?
Well, that's exactly it. It's a mindless patriotism, and that mindless patriotism is encouraged by the media also. For instance, you cannot have a critical term applied to anything in U.S. policy. You cannot use the term terrorism. Anything that the U.S. does, any terrorist acts that they've supported and committed in Guatemala, Nicaragua, Angola, Mozambique, Yugoslavia, Iraq today, where they've supported death squads and bombings and all sorts of things, terrorist acts all over the world, yet the term terrorism cannot be applied to U.S. policymakers. You cannot ever use a negative term. U.S. policymakers are wiping out local farmers in countries from Mexico to Africa to places in Europe under the guise of free trade, wiping out local industries and taking them over. You cannot use it. You've got to call that free trade. That is, anything that the U.S. multinational corporations do, anything that the Bush administration does, must always be cloaked in positive and affirming terms. And when you use negative terms, you're called anti-American, American bashing, blaming America, anti-West, whatever. And when other countries complain about some U.S. policies, they are immediately demonized as being hostile to us for some innate reason that's never made clear. They just suddenly are gripped by some hostility toward us, and so, and therefore, we have to go and deal with them and destroy them.
When you talk about the media's complicity in all of this, the mainstream media, I would add, I'm wondering if you are familiar with the Dixie Chicks and the furor that's been unleashed against them, and did you see the interview last night on Primetime with Diane Sawyer?
You know, I saw a little snatch of it, and I couldn't stomach it. I didn't care for it. All that happened is that one of them said, "We're ashamed that George Bush comes from our state of Texas," and for that she's had to apologize and the like, and there's been all this furor. She was perfectly free to say that. She's perfectly free to criticize the president of the United States. As a matter of fact, it hasn't hurt them. Their concert tours are almost all completely sold out now. Their CD sales and their record sales are up. It hasn't really hurt them. That element, there's an element that's trying to bait them, so big deal. And Michael Moore's books are selling just as well. And there were people who booed at him at the Academy Awards, but there also were people who were standing and applauding, and you couldn't quite hear them. Because Abu carries a bit more, but I don't think we should overlook the fact that there are millions of Americans who also were demonstrating against this war, criticizing this war, and criticizing the deficit spending policies of the Bush administration, the incredible increase in military spending, the increase in tax cuts for the very richest 1%. So not everybody is being fooled, mm-hmm. but it is very disheartening to know that some of our compatriots, people who on ordinary days would say to you, "Oh, politicians, you can't trust them. They have their own. They tell you one thing and then they go do something else, and they don't keep their promises." They'll say this very cynically, mm-hmm. but the minute those same politicians conjure up an external enemy that's going to threaten us, and the minute they start waving the flag and wrap that flag around them, then these very same fellow citizens fall into line and develop this most childlike trust in the president and will not tolerate the slightest criticism of him. They back and fall right into line with those very same politicians whom on other days they will tell you can't trust.
Mm. Well, the flag pretty much has been co-opted by the pro-war Americans and at the same time abandoned, one could say, by the Patriots for Peace. Some in the peace movement actually have suggested that it needs to reclaim the flag. Your thoughts on that?
Well, that was also an issue during the Vietnam era, I remember. And I remember organizing one of the biggest demonstrations in New Haven, Connecticut, and I made sure we had an American flag. Well, I said, "Hey, it's our flag, too. You know, let mm-hmm. people know that we are, that you can be, you can love your country and love justice, too," as Albert Camus said. "I want to be able to love my country and love justice, too. And I don't have to choose between the two. And don't you try to make me choose." So that would be my answer there.
The anti-war movement is continually blasted by pro-war Americans who want to say, if you're for peace, you're not supporting the troops. You're anti-American. There's a mindset, seemingly, that once the troops actually hit the foreign soil, you mustn't say anything against the war or the president, or you're feeding into Saddam Hussein's evil
right.
plot somehow.
Right, and that's another good question, right. And we can, and you and I can think especially of one person, Nancy Pelosi, House Minority Leader, who says, "We oppose this policy of war, but now that our troops are there, we must support our commander-in-chief." Well, excuse me, if this policy of war was so bad when it wasn't actually even happening, and you were saying this is going to be terrible, it's going to lead to loss of a lot of lives, it's going to lead to a $100 billion tab, it's going to cost us, it's going to alienate, it's going to destroy. If it was so bad before it even happened, why are you now supporting it now that all these terrible things are actually going into operation? That's when you should oppose it all the more. And that, and I say support our troops, bring them home. We now have U.S. troops in Kuwait, in Kosovo, in Bosnia, in Macedonia, in Uzbekistan, in Kyrgyzstan, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and fighting in the Philippines. We have them fighting in Colombia. We have bases, 300 major military bases all over the world. I mean, it's a lockdown planet filled with military, U.S. military forces all over. And this is costing us over $400 billion a year. And we have schools at home where the roofs are leaking, where the kids are demoralized, where they don't even have textbooks in their classrooms, where they've seen four substitute teachers in 3 weeks. They're not learning anything, and they say, "Can you fix the roof on our class? We're cold, we're wet, and when it rains, we have public hospitals that are closing down." So there is something wrong. The empire feeds off the republic, and this is the problem we face. All in the name of patriotism. Well, real patriotism means you love your country. If you love your country, that's not a mystical abstract. That means you love the people in the country. You care for the people, and you care for the quality of society and community that you have in your society. And that quality is deteriorating as we spend more and more of our patrimony, more and more of our treasure on this wild empire, sending more and more troops into more and more countries, killing more and more people just to make the world safe for George Bush and his transnational corporations and global investors. That's not the way I want to go.
And there are those who would bring you and others who make statements like that to task by saying that it's because you live in this country that you can make those type of statements, as if to say
that's right.
That...
It's because we live in this country and we fought for the right, and we fought against police, and we fought for the First Amendment, and we have fought for the right of assembly, and you didn't give us this right. This is a right that we won and grabbed from the hands. The big plutocrats and the bankers and the big money guys never supported public education. They never supported public demonstrations. They never supported free speech. They still don't support alternative media. They tried to suppress and buy out and crowd out alternative media. We fought for these things, and we don't owe anything to anybody. That we have these rights, it's because of us, not because of people who want to roll over and blindly follow the president and never dissent in any way. They turn around and say, "Oh, it's only because you're in this country you can say that." No, it's only because we are saying it and insisting on saying it that we can say it.
This is a pretty slippery slope America is on right now with regard to civil liberties. How do we get off of this slippery slope, in your opinion, Michael Parenti?
I think the way we get off the slippery slope is by opposing these repressive laws and by continuing to speak out. Be as dissident as possible. Do not censor yourself. Do not say less in the hope of reaching more and more people. When you censor yourself, you do the work of your enemies without them having to lift a finger. And the way to oppose their attempts to suppress dissent is by dissenting, organizing that dissent in larger and greater numbers, and impacting it on our leaders. And when the people are ready to lead, then the leaders will eventually follow.
Author, media critic Michael Parenti. Now that the United States occupation of Iraq has begun, we go to a discussion with leading Egyptian feminist Nawal el-Saadawi on the repercussions of the occupation on international law, democracy, women, and the rest of the Arab world. Dr. Nawal el-Saadawi has written a number of books on the topics of women, feminism, sexuality, and politics. Her words have been translated into 30 languages, and she has been awarded several esteemed literary prizes. KPFK Sonali Kalhatkar spoke with Nawal el-Saadawi recently about her first reaction to the situation in Iraq.
Well, you know, we've been fighting against this war. You know, since 1991, the Gulf War, we were fighting against George Bush, the father, And we had this international tribunal to judge him as a war criminal. And we didn't stop fighting against this American aggression to our people and to our region. I just had a meeting now because we are organizing a delegation of our association, the International Arab Women Solidarity Association. We are forming a delegation to go to the UN on 30 April, this coming 30 April, to give our demands to Kofi Annan. And our demands are summarized into the following: that the UN failed in its responsibility, because the charter of the UN says that the UN job is to prevent aggression and war and to solve conflicts peacefully by peace and negotiation. Iraqi people will never be liberated under foreign occupation. You cannot liberate men or women in any country under foreign occupation. So the Iraqi people will suffer more, and they will be struggling to get rid of this American occupation in the coming years. And of course, we and many other people who protested against the war, we will be supporting them and helping them to get rid of this foreign occupation. But the UN should be accountable for their responsibility, and Kofi Annan, as the head of the UN, should be responsible that the UN should do something to punish George Bush as a war criminal, to put sanctions on the U.S., to punish the U.S. government for not obeying the Security Council and the UN resolutions and violating the charter of the UN, and also to do something now to prevent what's happening in Iraq, that the troops in Iraq, the American troops and British troops, should withdraw immediately with no conditions. The UN should prevent the U.S. from taking the oil money of Iraq. So the U.S. should pay for her aggression. George Bush administration should pay for this war, not to be rewarded for this war as happened in 1991.
Let's talk about what's happening inside Iraq right now. There were dozens of protesters over the weekend who were reported as saying Islamic State, not American. What do you think the response is going to be on the ground, especially in the entire Arab world? Do you see a rise in fundamentalism as a response to American imperialism? And if so, how do you react to that?
You see, American imperialism encourages Islamic fundamentalism and Jewish fundamentalism and Christian fundamentalism here. George Bush here is encouraging Christian fundamentalism. And that's what we expected from this war. We expected that this war will increase the power of religious fundamentalism, whether Islamic or Jewish or Christian. And now some people, they are saying we need an Islamic State in Iraq. You see, no, and they are saying Islamic State and not American State. And both are not good. The Iraqi people should have a secular government, because Saddam Hussein was a secular government. I was not with Saddam Hussein at all. We were critical of his policy. But Saddam Hussein was not an Islamic State. He was almost the only secular state in the Arab world. So now you see that the effect of the U.S. war in Iraq is that Iraq is going backward and not forward. There is no liberation of Iraqi people at all by this war. And that's the beginning, Islamic State. You see, people are saying Islamic State. That's the beginning. And the U.S. will encourage that.
What?
The U.S. encouraged Osama bin Laden created the Islamic fundamentalist movement and helped in that to fight against the Soviet Union and against communism and socialism. And they will do that in Iraq. We'll encourage the Islamic State secretly or openly or anything, because they feel comfortable with a religious state than a secular state in our region. And George Bush George Bush is collaborating with the Christian fundamentalist groups in the United States to oppress people by religion.
However, of course, George Bush and even Laura Bush have been saying that, especially with respect to Afghanistan, that they were going in to save, to liberate Afghan women. And of course, as you just mentioned, fundamentalism will be increased. Talk about what you think women will be facing in the entire Islamic world as a result of U.S. imperialism.
A backlash has happened in Afghanistan. The Taliban regime was created by the U.S., and then they fought against it.
Let's talk a little bit about the repercussions of the U.S.'s actions in Iraq to the rest of the Arab world. Because the U.S. is saying that its actions in Iraq have been such a success, it is now looking toward Syria, and who knows next. Talk a little bit about that.
That's very dangerous. And we are including that in our letter to Kofi Annan. You know, we were just making the draft that we are carrying to Kofi Annan on the 30th of April. We are saying that the UN should be responsible to stop this repetition in Syria or in Iran or in Korea or in Egypt, because they are going. George Bush will not. Nobody is stopping George Bush. George Bush is unstoppable. You know, and unless we start now collectively, all the people who protested against the war, all the people who want justice and freedom and real democracy, we should put hand in hand to stop George Bush and punish him, because he's going to Syria. He will go to, and he will do in Syria exactly what he did in Iraq. He's going to Iran and to Egypt. He said, I'm going to Egypt. And he will go to Korea and all that. So he will never stop.
Egyptian feminist and author Nawal El-Sadawi speaking with KPFK's Sonali Kalhatkar. Pacifica's Peace Watch is produced in Washington, D.C. Our producer is Scott Gurian. Our editor is Lona Elias. Our engineer is Granger Helvey. Our associate producer is Angelique Shofar. We had production assistance from Jim Bennett and Adil Hamid of KPFA, Reem Kathuda, Keith Shaljian, and Adam Campy. Without your financial support, Peace Watch will cease to exist as of May 1st. It's your financial support that makes this program possible, so we urge you to pledge your support through our secure online website at pacifica.org. Or you can send your checks to Pacifica Radio, 2390 Champlain Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20009. I'm Verna Avery Brown, the executive producer. Thank you for listening.